I want to start by reading Proverbs 15:9. The way of the wicked is an abomination to he who loves him, who follows his righteousness. Righteousness is used 216 times in the Old Testament and 88 times in the New. Righteous is used 425 times in the Old Testament and 133 in the New. So obviously, it's very important to the Word of God. At this time of year, we try to focus even more than the rest of the year on pursuing righteousness of God, checking ourselves to see if we're on the right track. In Jeremiah wrote what God had said to Israel in chapter 7, verse 23. But this is what I command them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Israel repeatedly failed at this, individually and as a nation. Righteousness is not just keeping the commandments. Luke recorded the words of Jesus in Luke 17:10. So likewise you, when you have done all these things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. The Pharisees kept the letter of the law, but what were they lacking? What does God want that goes beyond just keeping the law? And when things are going good for us, is that a sign of righteousness? If you'll turn to Deuteronomy 9, verse 5. Deuteronomy 9, verse 5. It is not because of your righteousness or your integrity that you are going to take possession of their land, but on account of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God will drive them out before you to accomplish what he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 6, understand then that it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this good land to possess, for you are a stiff-necked people. Blessings do not always come because of our righteousness. As Jesus pointed out about the collapse on time on some of the Tower of Siloam, we know we can't completely get rid of our sins in our life, so that we just stop striving to do it. We can't just go through the motions. Our heart has to be changed also. Do we think we're pretty good because we keep the Sabbath, the holy days, tithe, don't murder, lie, commit adultery, or steal? Christ said that is just the basics required. What are the signs of a converted heart? A righteous converted heart will produce fruit. If you'll turn to Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. We can't just work hard this week and be righteous before God and barely think about it the next 51. Let's take a look at each of these fruits individually. Love is doing no harm and loving others as you love yourself. It is unconditional love that seeks nothing in return. Joy comes from understanding the forgiveness and mercy of God. He has passed over our sins and we are washed clean from them. Peace comes from not being anxious and giving our troubles over to God. Tranquility and absence of conflict, mental rest and harmony are the outcome. Long-suffering. Because God has overlooked our many sins, we need to be forbear with one another and not be finding the speck in our brother's eye, perversing and being steadfast and slow to avenge wrongs. kindness. Look for the good in everyone, not their weaknesses. Be gentle with others. Goodness, uprightness of heart. Faithfulness, being someone others know they can rely on and God can rely on too. Gentleness, kindness, and integrity, moral goodness. Self-control, mastering desires and passions. I've told this story before, but early in my conversion, I had learned a lesson of control, self-control. We'd moved into a new building at the home office, and to celebrate it, they brought in truckloads every day of Krispy Kreme donuts. That was the week unleavened bread fell Monday through Friday. So I couldn't wait them out. So I had to go to work every day, seeing these truckloads. They brought in 5 truckloads because we have them all eaten, and they take them home each day. And coworkers would be walking by, and they had boxes of these donuts. Aren't you going to take any? Aren't you going to eat any? And, I mean, they had to bring them from Tulsa. They didn't even have a Krispy Kreme in the area back then. And I did tell one coworker why I didn't. She said, well, that takes some control. But every day I had to sit there and smell that. And I asked myself if God was testing my resolve or if Satan was seeing if I'd fail. Luckily, I passed it. But it wasn't easy. All right, if you'll turn to 2 Peter 1:5. 2 Peter 1:5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither barren or be unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Don't keep looking backward on what you came out of. Rejoice that God called us and has forgiven us for the past, and move forward, asking him to add to the work that he's begun in us. Turn to 1 Corinthians 6:9. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. We've all been washed. We've all been set apart. And don't forget that we are God's chosen. He expects us to have a light that shines, that others can see. We don't do the things we once did. We make time for our Father, who is eager to have us succeed. He isn't there to slap us down every time we slip up. He is there to give us a helping hand and lead us forward. He gave us a helper. We have more than ancient Israel had that led to their godly righteousness. Remember that Israel was a chosen, set-apart nation, and they turned time and again away from God, even though he continually rescued them. They would lose sight of the deliverance and fall back into their old habits. When they were in trouble, they cried out, he would rescue them. But there came a time when he allowed them to go into captivity, to learn lessons they were not learning. Never cease to be thankful for what God called you out of, and never forget who it is who called you. It was when we keep looking back and questioning whether we have been forgiven, is that's when we lose sight of the hope and the joy that God has given us. We come discouraged and slip back into the old man. 1 John 3:22, of whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Truth is, we cannot somehow drum up righteousness in ourselves. We must be repentant and keep removing sin from our lives. That is required for the Holy Spirit to be able to work with us. Righteousness becomes a part of us when we seek a closer relationship with God and allow the Holy Spirit to produce in us a new creation. You cannot rely on yourself to develop holy, righteous character. Submit to the one who can make these changes. Each year, we renew our commitment to spend time in the Bible and in prayer to allow the Holy Spirit to make changes in us, remove sin, and take on the image of our survivor, our Savior. Passover, the days of unleavened bread, are a yearly reminder to us that we need to renew that commitment, not just for this week, but for the weeks to come. Just as our Father wants to see us succeed, we all want to see each other succeed. We do not look down on anyone because we know that we were once there. We are distressed when any of our fellows, people, brethren, seek to choose another way of life. I want to end with a verse in 1 Peter 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Don't look back. Graciously and thankfully accept the gift of the salvation of Christ gave for his life without doubting. Keep your eyes focused on the promise of a future and a hope that God says his thoughts towards us.